Are you ready to win? You're tuned in with Star, Pastor Dab, and Gabe for an hour packed with encouragement, strategies, and resources for families with children with special needs. You're not alone on this journey. Stay tuned because you're ready to win.
Ready to win. All right, you guys. Well, welcome back to another week's show of Ready to Win. This is Star.
Quentin.
We've got Pastor Dab in the house.
Pastor Dab.
All right, we even got Gabriel in the house. He's being quiet. And, of course, we can't forget about our favorite engineer. Let's give it up for Alan. So we are so excited to be here with you guys for another week's show. And we just celebrated our one-year anniversary last week, and we had a great, great, great year. It's been a great year. It's been a great ride to be here and be able to be on the air and share with you guys tips and strategies on how you can just have your best life, even though you might have a child that has special needs. And, you know, we've got something for everybody. We've got some positive information and some great information to bring everybody. And so we're excited to be here. And today is no different than the last week. We have to start our week off, our show off, with a positive word, a scripture from Pastor Dab. So let's take it away.
All right. Well, good afternoon. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here once again, another time, another day. And we just give God the honor, the glory, and the praise today. Hallelujah. It's so good to be here and to just have life today. And so today I just come to bring one scripture from Luke 21, verse 36. And it says, "Watch, therefore, and pray, always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Amen. So we have to be on guard. We have to be alert. We have to be prepared, and we have to be aware. It's so key that we have to be prepared. And Benjamin Franklin said this, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." So we just come today to just pray, and we come today to tell you to be a watchman on post, watch and pray and live holy every day. And we just are so truly thankful that we still are here, yet here today. A lot of people lost their lives this week, and it's tragic, just tragic. But we just give God honor, glory, and praise. And as we continue to pray and be in prayer for others and doing for others and serving others on our way and on this journey, we just come to tell you that God is able and God will always make a way for you. He'll always make a way for you, a way of escape. So the message today is to be prepared and aware of your surroundings. All right? All right? I love you guys.
If you are an adult, I'm sure you will agree that it's all about our children. And our children, they carry our legacies. And I think about the children that were lost at the high school. And I think about the parents, and I grieve with them. And my heart goes out to them. And as we discussed, you know, preparations that we can do to protect our children.
So we're so excited to be able to be here to share with you some of these tips. And at the same time, we are very, very, our hearts do go out to all the families that have experienced loss this week. I know that's what's on the hearts and the minds of the people. And that's exactly what's on our hearts and our minds today as well. And so we were trying to figure out, what shall we talk about today on the radio? And we really wanted to talk with you guys about just safety and preparing, you know, what to do when tragedy strikes. How do you prepare when tragedy strikes? Because there's really no way to prepare for this, you know. You can't really prepare for this. And so one thing that we do know is that we don't want to live in fear and be people that live in fear. And I think that's the biggest thing that we can take away is, you know, when these things happen, it kind of just puts a state of fear in people. And I know that I was, you know, looking over my Facebook post and looking at some of the things that people were saying, and it can just put people in such a state of fear that it'll paralyze them. You know, they don't even want to send their kids to school. They don't want to go anywhere in public places, go to concerts, go to all these different things that have happened. They kind of try to put the people in a state of fear, in a state of panic. But we know that we can't have fear, because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we can't have fear, but we do have to be cautious, and we do have to practice safety and have some safety things that we put in place in advance. And I know that as a school, because we do have our private school, you know, it just made us step up. Like, what are we going to do to be more prepared for and have more things, systems in place for our students, to protect our students here? What are we going to do as a family to have more safety and security systems in place to protect our family at home? You know, and it's all about thinking these things out. Nobody wants to ever have to live these things out, but it's thinking these things through and having some type of safety plan in place in advance. And you guys are going to have to figure out what works the best for your family. Every family has to figure out what works the best for them. I know we've been getting tons of calls over the telephone from the school board, and just, you know, the voicemails. And I know all the parents are getting those calls just to let people know, hey, we are concerned, we care, and we're doing everything that we can to make sure that our kids are safe. And that's really what it boils down to, is making sure that we keep our kids safe.
And my wife, she is an administrator at a school, the Gifted Learning Center. So she has to also think about the, you know, safety measures as far as school and not necessarily at home. So I know that there's been a lot of discussions as well about how to, you know, make safeguards in the school and as well as home. Because when you send your child to school, you're not thinking that, you know, something's going to happen. You're thinking that it's a safe place, and you're thinking that there's something you shouldn't have to worry about. But now it's something we can take into consideration, even here in America. We have to think about those safeguards, and we have to take those things into consideration.
Right. And that's what we're doing. So we'll give you guys some of the different things that we've done to make sure that our kids are safe, and we'll give you guys some good strategies and some things that you can do, some simple things that you might not even think about that you can have in place that can be a help to you in a time of tragedy. So we're going to play this song for you, and we're going to play this song called Fly Over the Storm.
Turn around, something trying to hold me down. It seems like it's one thing after the other as I try to move further. But I gotta hold on to God's unchanging hand. Since he brought me up the last time, he'll do it again. I'm gonna fly, 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 fly over the storm. Nothing's gonna stop me, I'll just keep pressing. Right. Don't look to the left. Don't be distracted.
right, guys. That song is Fly Over the Storm. It's on my very first CD, Just the Beginning. And, you know, I remember when I wrote that, we were just leaving Kansas and we were in the airplane and the pilot said, we're about 36,000 feet up in the air. There's a storm out there. You might feel a little turbulence, but we're going to fly over the storm. And by the time I got off the airplane, I had that song, little jingle in my head. And, of course, I was like, is this a song? You know, because that's just like life. There's a little turbulence, but God said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And we're going to get to our destination safely. And so, once again, this is Star, and we're live in the studio with Mr.
Quentin
Fields. I'm so happy to have my husband here with me today. He's off and able to be here in the studio with us, so we're excited for him to be
here. Not a special guest.
He's not a special guest. He's a regular.
It's been a while, but I'm more of a regular than a special guest.
He's more of a regular, yeah. So so excited that he's here with us, and he's able to share his input because, you know, I've learned so much from him. And I'm sure he's learned so much by being in the military, and even not just being in the military, but even growing up in Chicago on some different safety things. I remember when we went to Chicago, and when I went there with him 20 years ago, before we even got married, and he was giving me things on how you can be safe just in a big city. And, you know, we, were, of course, weren't worried about the things that we are talking about today with this so much gun violence and stuff in the schools, but it was gun violence on the streets there, you know. And so I know that God has definitely blessed you with some hands-on information, probably more than you wanted to know.
Yeah, it was
about staying safe. So
I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and I wouldn't call it the Wild Wild West, but it's, you know, it felt like the Wild Wild West. So even though there are gun laws in place in Chicago, Illinois, it seems like a lot of people have guns.
So,
wow. Yeah, somehow, some way, people still gain access to these weapons, and people who shouldn't have them. It's not about people who should have them. It's really about people who should not have them. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to have to answer how the people who should not have these weapons get these weapons,
right,
and do something about it, because we do have satellites that can zoom in on a pinhead.
Uh-huh.
So if we have satellites that can zoom in the pinhead, I'm pretty sure we can stop people who have these weapons who should not have these, not law-abiding citizens who have Second Amendment rights. Right. We're talking about people who should not have weapons. Now, in Chicago, where I grew up, it was not uncommon in the high school to have metal detectors. Metal detectors was a common thing where I come from, because they did not want students to bring guns to school. So we had security guards, we had metal detectors, and I just assumed growing up that everyone had metal detectors.
And we did not have metal detectors. I'm from Kansas, a small little town in Kansas, and if they would have had a metal detector, I would have been like, what in the world is this contraption? I mean, I never even would think that schools would have to have metal detectors to go to school. Who would ever think that you would have to have a metal detector, maybe to get on an airplane, or, you know, to go do some top security stuff, like maybe go to the White House or something like that. You know what I mean? Something like big and important, but just to go to school, I would never think that you would have to have that. So that just shows us the two different ways that we were raised in the environments that we grew up in, because I come from a small little town, you come from the big city, and from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, so yeah, I didn't really realize it, but it was kind of normal, but I was always in a state of a heightened situational awareness. I'm uncomfortable with people like walking up behind me like fast, because I turn around like, hey, what's going on, you know? And here, I guess, you know, that's not a big deal here, but I still turn around. It's still in me. I still turn around and I say, hey, can I help you? I'm still going to be polite, you know, because you guys taught me to speak to everyone. Because where I come from, everybody don't speak to each other. You know,
yeah, we just where we come from in Kansas, people speak to one another.
So. But it's a different environment. Mm-hmm. So where I come from, if someone comes up to you and they're speaking to you, you're wondering,
why are you talking?
Are you trying to rob me?
Yeah.
You know, you're more on the defense. And some of the things that
that still stick with me is I lock my doors. I noticed that a lot of people around here, they don't lock doors. We locked doors, even in the school. They locked the doors. They have control access. There's only certain doors that people were able to go in and out of. They control the access into the school, where in the schools that I grew up in Chicago, Illinois. Now, I don't know if you can access schools here. I'm pretty sure they have a central access point in the schools here as well. I would think that would be a pretty standard and normal thing. But, yeah, we control the access. Even when if I'm at a restaurant, I like to sit facing the door because I like to see who's coming in. And I hate that we have to even discuss these things as if we're in a war zone. But you have to we can't ignore it anymore. We have to be careful. We have to pay attention.
And that's so true. And, you know, so this is getting into the part where we're talking about some of our practices that we have. And I know, like Quentin said, he always sits facing the door, and he does. So whenever we go out to eat, we kind of know which way is the door because he's on alert. You know, he's always standing there, going to be there to protect us. We're like, yay, we're glad he's there, you know. But some things that we do when we go out with Gabriel, because, you know, when Gabriel has autism, so he's not going to follow the commands. You guys probably heard him earlier when I was trying to tell him, be quiet. You probably heard him, la, la, la. You know, so he won't even be quiet for me. So imagine if we were in a place, be quiet, Gabe, la, la, la. You know, that's not going to work. So he definitely, we're not even to get him to able to get him to run on command yet. So we're working with that, even in the therapy. And I'm doing it basically because I want him to be able to do the Special Olympics. You know, I want him to be able to ready, set, go. So we're working on ready, set, go. And when I say run, I want him to run. You know what I mean? We're teaching him the sign for run. We're teaching him to run. And I want him to be able to do some of these things on command. But right now, he does not. So whenever we go out in large crowds, we always take the stroller and or some type of wheelchair. And that's if we're in Disney, if we are anywhere that we're at where there's a lot of people, we always take we always take a stroller because we know that he might not run on command. But at least if we have that stroller, we can push him. We can get away fast. You see what I'm saying? And we always try to sit by the exit. You know, we always try to sit by the exit so that we can get away or get out of whatever. If we're at a music conference or a music festival or something, we'll try to sit by one of the exits so that we can get out. You know, and those are just some safety things that we take with Gabe so that we can be prepared, because, you know, with our children that have special needs, you got to prepare for yourself and you have to be able to prepare for them as well.
Yeah, I think we have to come to the reality that there are threats any and every public place that we go to. So I anticipate seeing more metal detectors, even at places like a movie theater. There's a lot of people going to the movie theaters this weekend, good movies out, premieres, things like that. So, you know, situational awareness, pay attention to the exits, know where the exits are. If somebody was to come in shooting, don't crowd into one big huddle, because, you know, most people, they're going to go in the same general direction and they're going to kind of bunch together, and it makes an easy target. So, you know, you don't want to go and huddle yourself into one big ball. You want to kind of spread out and make it harder. And I hate to even talk like this, because you wouldn't think that would be necessary, but you have to be careful. You have to pay attention.
And
you have to have a plan.
When I was in college, that was what we did on the first day of college. The teacher went through like a whole orientation, and part of their orientation was if something happened on the campus, if somebody was in the building or something happened, what are the things that we do? And they had they locked the building down. They, you know. And she said, worst case scenario, everybody just start throwing stuff because that'll distract them, you know, just start throwing stuff at them because they're not going to expect that. So that'll kind of distract them or whatever and give people a chance to get away, you know, to get out. If you just start throwing things, you know, but who wants to think that way? I mean, I'd be sitting up in the middle of the class now, you know. I come from Kansas, so I'm really not used to all that stuff. And I would be like, why in the world am I having to be up here? I should have took online classes is what I'm thinking, because now I have to worry about somebody coming in on the campus and, you know, all this crazy stuff. And it just doesn't put you in a good place, you know, when you're all, you don't, because you don't want to be in fear, but then they're telling you all this stuff. And so it's just a really weird place to try to figure out how can you be prepared without living your life in fear. And, but she did say to throw stuff at him for distractions. And I was like, okay. So what am I going to throw? A cell phone? I mean, you know, what are you going to throw? Everybody throws something at the same time, you know? I don't know. It's just crazy. But unfortunately, we do have to talk about these things. And you have to prepare yourself, because at school, we do fire drills every year. Every month, we have to do a fire drill at our school, Sunlight Christian Academy. We do a fire drill every single month. And you have to do fire drills. And you know what? We need to be doing safety briefings. And we need to be doing more of these things to make sure that we are practicing safety and getting different routes and getting different ways that we could possibly be able to get away if get out of harm's way if something were to happen, you know. So it's something that we have to be concerned with all the time. And just like you said, even at churches, you just never know, because there's so much stuff that's been going on in the world. So it's so sad, but it's definitely something that we have to prepare for.
Yeah. Advice, don't be afraid. I know that sounds tough, but the word tells us not to be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
So fear obviously not. It's possible not to be afraid. So don't be afraid, because when you panic, when you go into fear, you doing more reactions and not responding. So if you take a moment, even in a crisis, to look around and try to see what's happening, what is the source, where is it coming from, which direction do I need to go, that can help, that can save lives. So try not to be afraid, try to respond versus react. I know I'm not a good runaway person. I'm kind of like into the danger person. So if I go at the shooter, I just need somebody to go with me. So remember that, because I'm going for the shooter. I just need somebody to go with me and help me out. But, you know, pay attention to, try not to be afraid. Try not to panic. And because, you know, there's trampling situations where people trample over each other. A lot of people get hurt just trying to run away, and, you know, they end up running over each other and things like that. So, you know, just try to remain calm and try to respond versus have a reaction.
And, you know, that's devastating when people are in those situations. I know we say respond versus react, but it's
not easy.
I'm sure it's not easy, you know. And I have a story that I was going to share with you guys on something that happened to me when I was dropping a friend off from, we had just got finished with choir rehearsal, and I was just dropping her home. And her, the way her apartments went, it was one way in and one way out. So usually I would just drop her off and I would be facing the way in. And so I would have to go down after I dropped her off and turn around and do a U-turn. But this particular night, like the Holy Spirit said, just turn around and be facing out. So I was facing out and I was ready to leave. Well, of course, I'm sitting here in my, it's late, like it was dark, like 10 o'clock or whatever. And we were sitting there listening to one of the songs we had just rehearsed at choir rehearsal. And here comes this car right by us, really, 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 really slow. Okay. And I said, do you know them? Because at first I thought they were slowing down because they knew her, but they got so close to us. And then they were trying to, so as they were slowing down, I took my foot was already, my car was already in drive. I took my foot off of the brake and I started to go slow. I didn't want it to seem like I was obviously scared, but of course my mommy always told me, you know, to be on guard. And so watch my surroundings. And I was watching my surroundings. So I'm just smiling and we're singing and praising the Lord. And as we're singing and praising the Lord, I'm taking my foot off of the brake. I'm like, do you know them? Still praising the Lord. Trying not to look like I'm obviously scared. She's like, no, I don't know them. I'm like, okay. So then I start going a little faster. And guess what they started doing? They started going a little faster backwards.
they were trying to block me in, but I was, and then I stopped, and then I started going faster again, and they stopped, and they were driving at the same speed that I was driving frontwards, backwards, like they were trying to block me in. And I said, thank you, Jesus. God knew I did. I don't drive backwards very well, but I sure do drive forward good. Okay. And they were driving backwards and I was driving forwards, and praise the Lord, we were able to get out of that one way parking lot situation to get out of that situation. And they had to go down and do the U-turn, but I was already facing outward.
The skid marks are still in the parking lot.
It's so funny. The skid marks are still there. But they, you know, it really scared me because I'm like, they were, I don't know what their intentions were, but obviously their intentions were not good that day for them to be trying to basically cut us off, block us in, and to get close. And sometimes people will see you. So you don't, you know, there's just things that we can do to protect ourselves. Like, one thing is, don't try not to be out late at night, okay, by yourself, and, you know, and be careful of where you go. And like always, we've been saying, is pay attention to your surroundings. We're not going to live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we're not going to be people of fear, but we do definitely want to be cautious and be aware of our surroundings. So we're talking about safety today, and just how you can be safe, and what to do when tragedy strikes. You guys, we're praying for our country. We're praying for all those affected by this horrible school shooting. And you guys, stay tuned. We're ready to win.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With NSRA News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says he hopes law enforcement members are getting the credit they deserve for their response to a deadly Florida high school shooting.
What a great job you've done, and we appreciate it very much. And everybody's talking about it.
The president and first lady paid a visit last night to Fort Lauderdale to meet with Broward County Sheriff's officers who responded to this week's shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in nearby Parkland. He met earlier in the day with some parents of the victims. Special counsel Robert Mueller's office alleges Russians used bogus social media posts and fraudulent advertising to spread distrust of candidates and the U.S. political system in the 2016 election. Correspondent Eric Tucker reports the indictment represents the most direct allegations about Russians so far.
There's a symbolic nature, but this is also a way of telling the Russian government that they have identified by name people who are responsible for all sorts of social media meddling in the American political elections over the last several years.
The charges shed light on the extent to which the Russians allegedly manipulated social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, trying to cause confusion. Chief of Staff John Kelly is ordering changes to the White House security clearance process after allegations were made against an ex-aide.
In a five-page memo to top White House aides, Kelly acknowledges that the White House must do better in handling security clearances. Among the changes he proposes, the Chief of Staff wants the FBI to hand-deliver completed background checks to the White House Counsel's Office, and Kelly wants monthly updates on ongoing background checks. The move comes after it was revealed that a top presidential aide had an interim security clearance despite allegations of spousal abuse. Greg Clugston, The White House.
A powerful earthquake slammed south central Mexico.
On average, the largest aftershock is one unit of magnitude smaller than the main shock, or 1.2. So we've already had a 5.8.
This is SRN News.
We thank you for stopping by. Now to Jacksonville weekend weather. Partly sunny skies, afternoon high of 82. Tonight, partly cloudy with areas of fog, low around 60. Partly cloudy day for Sunday afternoon, highs in the upper 70s expected. Sunday night, partly cloudy, low temperature in the upper 50s. Monday, Washington's birthday, sunshine, again high around 80 degrees. The outlook Tuesday through Thursday, sunny skies with afternoon temps around 80 and mostly clear nights with overnight readings around 60.
All right, guys, welcome back to Ready to Win. This is Star.
Quentin.
And if you are just tuning in, we come on the air every single Saturday from 12 to 1 to help bring resources, tips, and just strategies for families that have children with special needs. And even if you don't have a child that has a special need, these strategies and tips can help anybody, because today we're talking about safety and how we can be safe, how we can make sure that our kids are safe, and just some great safety strategies that to practice day in and day out. And first we were talking about basically paying attention to your surroundings and different things that we do to pay attention to our surroundings, how we sit, how we try to sit by an exit, locate an exit, and always know that there's a way out and try to be close to the exit if possible. Especially if you have a child with special needs, it might be a little bit harder to be mobile. And so with Gabe, when we said earlier that we always take him out in large crowds, we try to make sure we have the wheelchair / stroller or the harness, the little backpack with, you know, that strap that we can always make sure we have him. But really, if he gets tired of walking, he'll just kind of drop his and do the dead weight thing on us. So it's better for us to have the wheelchair or the stroller to help us. But definitely you want to pay attention to your surroundings in times like these. Definitely pay attention to your surroundings. And even in the midst of all of this, you want to make sure that you still don't live a life of fear, because we want to live our lives to the fullest. And we're not going to be in fear, but we definitely want to be aware.
Don't fear, be aware and prepare.
And prepared. Amen. All right. So now on this half of the show, we're going to talk about some things that you have right at your fingertips that can help you. And a lot of times we don't even know about them, or we might not use them. So one of the things I'll talk about that everybody has on their cell phone is the location app. And the location app, some people like it, some people don't, because they like, I don't want everybody knowing where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? I need some privacy. And these phones, they know everything. They always are, you know, they can track my every move. If they see I'm at in front of the Starbucks, the next thing I start seeing all these Starbucks promotions flash up over my Facebook. If they see I'm here, then all these other things start flashing up. So people want privacy, but at the same time with that location app, it can also be a great safety feature and where people can locate you if your phone is there. And even if you lost your phone, I mean, you can locate your own phone, you know what I mean? But basically people can locate your surroundings and know where you were or where you were last at, or the time that you were there. And there's been so many stories about people utilizing the location app. And that was, they were, you know, if they were lost in the woods or, you know, lost up in the mountain. I mean, it's been so many things that people were able to, how they were able to locate themselves and get located and get the help that they needed. So something that you can practice right now is just turning that location on. And I just looked at my phone and I looked at it, and guess what? My location is not on. So one thing to be mindful of is that sometimes if your phone battery goes off, it might not automatically come back on. So just get in the habit of looking at it to make sure that your location is on, because that could help you a lot.
Yeah, I know iPhone, and I'm pretty sure every smartphone has this feature, but iPhone has the way you can hit the side button. You can set it up so once you hit the side button like 5 times, it comes up with the emergency SOS and medical ID. And what it does is emergency SOS will alert the authorities to your location. It will also send text messages to your family to let them know exactly where you are. And they will know that there's something going on. And you basically just go into your settings and you set it up, and you put who you wanted to alert in the case of emergency. And medical ID, you could also actually put your medical information in, blood type and things of that nature, so that first responders can have that information available to help you. You know, mm-hmm. if you're unable to talk, they'll have everything they need. So I recommend that you program, if you have not already programmed this information to your phone, I recommend you do that, because I'm pretty sure they took a survey. 9 out of 10 people have a cell phone. I know, because everybody's taking videos on social media. So if you have not put this information into your phone, I recommend that you do so.
That's great. Emergency SOS. And so that's a great feature to have. I know Quentin set his up, and me and Mommy, we don't have iPhones. We're Samsung girls, and so we have to set up our emergency SOS. But those are some great things that you can have set up. And he said, if you're not able to talk. So what about our population that is not able to talk? What can they do? You know what I mean? We used to have one of our friends that whenever they would go into the store and he would get separated from his parents, he would always go to the customer service and be able to page them, you know. And that was awesome because he was verbal. But there's so many times that our kids are not verbal. So I think that's one reason why I'm like always on edge, because I'm like, we know we cannot let him out of our sight because he is not verbal. If he gets separated from you, how in the world are they going to be able to say, is he going to be able to say, hey, my mommy is over there? No, there's no way. You know what I'm saying? So, we always have to make sure that we are, you know, we're his mouthpiece. And since we're his mouthpiece, you know, we were talking about that movie that we watched the other week, Kidnap, with Halle Berry, which is a great movie. But we were talking about how she was distracted on that telephone and the kid was sitting over there. He could talk and everything. And she used this, the perpetrator used, oh, your mommy's looking for you. And the mom was had her back turned on the telephone. So we have to make sure that, you know, there's no room for error. And I always say that with Gabe, there's no room for error. You know what I mean? There is no room for error because we have to be his eyes. We have to be his mouthpiece. We have to sometimes be his feet and his legs, because we have to be whatever he needs us to be to make sure that he's safe. But there is no room for error. And I just encourage you guys don't be distracted by things that can wait, like texting and Facebook. You know what I mean? Be present to the moment. And I think that is so key, because all it takes is a split second for your kid to run out in the street, or a split second for them to run off in the store, or you know what I'm saying? And it's just, there's no room for error for any of our kids. So just be present to the moment and be mindful. You know, if your kid is nonverbal, you might want to have, if they're able to tolerate some type of necklace or something that has their identity on it, or if they are able to, you might be able to put, like, I know they have like little watches or tracker watches that you can put on their arms or stuff like that. Be mindful of those things, you know, because that's really, really scary. They might need that some type of tracker or some kind of tracker device on their arm or around their neck, like a little necklace or something that can say, this is where I'm at. And because they might not be able to tell you, they might not have the capability to push a little button. But if somebody sees them, then they'll be able to get them back to safety, you know. And I think that's something we have to always be aware of.
Even if you're taking a long trip, I know I have it's a charger. It's a phone charger that goes into the cigarette lighter of your vehicle, and you plug it in and it will track your entire trip. So if you stop somewhere, it'll record, and it can send that information to your loved ones and say, okay, I see she took a stop in Colorado to get gas, whatever. It will track your entire journey. So those of you who are, you know, about to venture across the states, cross country or whatever, you know, I recommend you get those tracking, because it'll always alert to your last known location, which is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still talking about different types of, because I wanted to get into paying attention to other people.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Because you talked about how the lady was on a cell phone and things like that, but pay attention to each other. You know, we all have that, we have our information, we have our education, we have our intellect, but we also have the spirit. We also have our gut instincts.
Mm-hmm.
And when those people who go out, I don't know, I have no idea what makes someone go out and want to hurt other people. But I believe that there are signs. I believe that if somebody is in a position or is contemplating doing something to harm other people, I believe that there are warning signs. There will be warning signs that precede that. And we have to pay attention to each other. And if somebody gives us that feeling like, you know, something's not right here, we're gonna have to let somebody know. Because even the people who hurt other people, someone knows these people.
Right.
Someone knows them. Someone knows them well. And sometimes, and I'm not saying this is always the case, but sometimes people ignore those signs. Like, nah.
They wouldn't do that.
You know, mm-hmm. They may even, here's another thing that comes out is they do give warning signs. They put it on social media. They write notes. They let people know, hey, yeah, I'm about to go and do this. Mm-hmm. And people say, nah. Mm-hmm. But they go out and do it. And the person thinks to themselves, wow, they told me that. And I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. So hurting other people is never a joking matter. It's nothing to play with. It's nothing to take lightly. So if someone gives you the signs, lets you know, post it on Facebook, whatever the signs may be, don't ignore the signs, because they just may go out and do something like that. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say, pay attention to other people. Don't ignore the signs, because you could be the one to alert authorities and you could prevent something from happening.
That's so true. That's so true. Because, you know, the thing about it is hurt people, and people are hurting, and people are they are crying out for help. But is anybody listening? You know what I mean? Are you listening? Do you hear what's going on out there? You know, that's so true. So definitely pay attention to the signs, you guys. I mean, we're just giving you some of our tips and some strategies to help all of us to be safe, and especially our students and our kids that are going to school, and especially our children that have special needs, because they can't defend themselves, you know. So we want to make sure that we don't put them in compromising situations, and also that we are making the best out of the environment that we put them in, and know how to have some extra strategies, and that we can not live our life in fear and be able to be aware of our surroundings and prepared. So we're going to play this song. And before we hit play on this, Alan, I just want to tell you guys, I wrote this song for one of my dear friends. She had tragedy strike in her life. Her mom and her son got killed. And it was horrible. And I remember I seen something about it on Facebook, and I couldn't believe it. And such a great, great, great kid. And always, every time he see me, he would be with this group of friends, and he would always come and give me a hug. Hi, Miss Star. And I'd be like, oh, hi. You know, he never, you know how sometimes when the guys grow up, because you see them when they're little kids and you watch them grow up, and then sometimes when they grow up, they get with their friends and they don't want to speak no more. But he never was like that. He just always was a great kid. Hi, Miss Star. And so I seen his mom at the grocery store, and I remember we were in the potato chip aisle. I can remember it so clear. And she said to me, Star, this is what happened. I said, I didn't know what happened. She told me, and I just remember crying all over the potato chips. And then she hugged me. And then after she hugged me, then she asked me, she said, Star, how's Gabe doing? And I began to tell her, oh, he's doing good. He's still not potty trained. You know, we're still working on this. We're still working on that. And she spoke these words to me, and it changed my life forever. She says, at least he's still here. You still got your baby, right? And when a parent that loses their child can tell you that, and they can have enough compassion to ask you, in spite of all their pain that they're going through, they can ask you how your child is doing. And then they can give you those words of encouragement that you're still here. Your baby's still here. It just really reminds us to count our blessings. So when I went home, I wrote this song, and it's called You're Still Here. And you guys can listen to it. It's going to be on our upcoming CD.
Somebody's son didn't come home from war. Somebody's baby just didn't see the car. Somebody's daughter just got diagnosed, but you're still some parents sent their kids off to school just like any normal day. They never thought the tragedy would unfold, but you're still. World going on. One minute you could be here, and the next you could be gone. That's why we can't keep holding grudges. Tell your brother and your sister that you love them. It's a blessing to be here. So count your blessings.
It's a blessing to be here.
Blessing to be here. I can feel the
feel
sun
the
and the rain fall on your head. It's a blessing.
It's a blessing to be here.
It's a blessing to be here.
Could have been gone.
Count your blessings.
But through your grace,
it's a blessing.
I'm still here.
To be here.
It's a blessing, yeah.
Blessing to be here.
Through all the good and the bad, happy and the sad, you're still here.
All right, you guys, you're still here, and it's a blessing to be here. And I just love that song. I love that it encourages us to count our blessings. In spite of it all, God still let us wake up and see another day.
I hear the, it lets people know that what there are in their lives. And we may be complaining about one thing and someone else would love to be in our shoes, even with our complainings. And I know that what everyone is going through is extreme to them, because that's their experience.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always someone who has it worse. And even though they may have it worse, they're still making the best of their particular situation. So it's all about perspective. And someone can come and give you a whole totally different perspective and change your paradigm on how you were looking at your own situation. And at the end of the day, we count it all joy.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, that's it. Whenever tragedy strikes, this just reminds us to cherish the things that are the most important to us. And you know what? It's the things that are most important to us. It's not clothes and shoes and houses. Yeah. Not things. They're not things. Clothes, shoes, houses, cars. I mean, nobody cares about that stuff. At the end of the day, it reminds you to tell your family you love them. Hug your kids. Spend time with the people that you love and not cherish stuff and things, because that is just a bunch of junk. My grandpa, I used to always call those clothes, those rags, you know. He said those rags, you know. But so it's just about cherishing the people and not the stuff. And that is what's the most important thing that you can do. And those people in South Florida that lost all their children and their loved ones in that horrible school shooting, I wish that we could do something to let them know that everything's going to be okay. You know, it's like, what can you do? How can you put your loving arms around them? The only thing we can do is pray for them and ask the Lord to give them peace and comfort them, because just, I mean, you can't even imagine to send your 14-year-old off to school and Valentine's Day, you know what I mean? The love day. And they don't get to come home and do the cookies that you bought them, eat the cookies, and they're the little Valentines that you had prepared for them or whatever. So it's just horrific.
And I can hear those parents, and those parents are outraged, and those parents want whatever is in our power to do. Whatever we can do, what they want is something to be done. So hopefully we can start taking more preventative measures to prevent this from ever happening again. It's happened way and all too often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for us to do what we can do within reason to prevent something like this from ever happening again.
All right. So we are just, this is such a hard topic to talk about, you know. It almost brings tears to my eyes just thinking about how when I see those parents and the way they're I can feel their heart, you know, when I hear the television commercials. But that's just 5 seconds or 10 seconds to hear them talk, but they still have to go back home to their kids' empty room. And these kind of things are just devastating. So you guys, definitely, let's just keep them lifted up in prayer. Pray that God continue to comfort them and give them the peace that they need. And let's pray for our country, that we will not live in fear, that we will continue to trust God and continue to live our lives, but be cautious, be aware, and try to be as prepared as possible. Be prepared, be aware of your surroundings, and still enjoy your lives, guys. That's the key, you know, still enjoy your lives, but be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, if there's a place that you don't feel comfortable going, don't go, you know, listen to that inner voice. So,
and parents, remember stranger danger. Teach your kids about stranger danger. We're going to and from work every day. We're so busy, but we got to take that pause, because we love our kids, and we have to teach them the things that we need to teach them.
for sure. So thank you, Mr. Quentin Fields, for coming in the studio with us today. It's such a blessing to have you here.
I managed to make it down. I'm not a special guest.
I know.
work keeps me busy, but I get here as much as I can.
Yes, I'm so happy to have him. He's always by my side, guys. He's my biggest supporter, so I love him. He loves us.
Yeah, I'm a pom-pom zone.
He got pom-pom son. So I love him. He loves us, and we keep it moving in spite of it all. So I'm so glad that he's able to be here with us today. And you guys stay tuned. Make sure you watch our Facebook pages so that you can see some of the great things that are happening in Jacksonville. And don't forget to register for the Family Cafe. Registration opened up on Wednesday. So Family Cafe registration is open. You've been listening to Ready to Win. This is Star.
Quentin.
And we are so excited that you've tuned in. For more information, visit www.giveawayfoundation.org. Have a blessed day. Bye now.
You've been listening to Ready to Win, turning disabilities into unique abilities, an empowered hour to help you and your child with special needs. You're encouraged to get involved in our local special needs community. Learn more at giveawayfoundation.org. That's giveawayfoundation.org. And remember, you're always equipped to win.